has God richly blessed you, like abundantly blessed you? It's a question we're going to be talking about here in the middle of the sermon. I'm going to go around the mic, so if you already have a thought, keep building it. How has God richly blessed you? Before we get there, I'm going to share something really new and also something really ancient, and we're going to talk about our basic problems, right? Like, we all have a basic problem. We understand from this really new thing and this really old thing about this basic problem we have, but then we're going to get to how good God wants to be for us. And my hope is, as other people are sharing how good God's been to them, we'll feel like, I think God could do that for me too. And at the very end, we're going to try to do something about it, right? We're going to talk about, like, if God's been good to us, what should we go do about it? Okay? Before we get to all that, best place to start is saying, God, I need your help, right? And so if you're here today and you're, I want to understand my struggle and how Jesus can help. I want to know that God wants my goodness, wants good for me, and I want to do something about it. If you're in that spot, like, let's pray about it, right? So let's bow our heads. Jesus, help us to understand our problem and how you came to help. Help us to feel how good your Father is. Help us to do something about that goodness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the new thing I'm going to talk about is there's a bunch of AI stuff going around. Some people use AI for really good stuff. Like, my kid's basketball coach was telling me after the basketball game about looking up all this stuff about Hebrew with ChatGPT and how he was learning more about God through that. And I think it was good, right? But I came across an article that stressed me out from just earlier this month, like a couple weeks ago. There's this form of AI called, I think it's OpenClaw or something. Basically, it's taken like some open source AI stuff, made it really easy to put it, your own instance of it on your phone or your computer, and kind of just give it access to everything of yours and the internet, and then tell it to do stuff. And it doesn't have some of the same guardrails as some other forms of AI do. And so this guy that runs this blog, Scott donates time to run this thing that helps support Python. It's this really popular little program that, like, 130 downloads a month type of thing. I'm going to nerd out for a second. Stick with me. So open source stuff, like volunteers, programmers, put stuff out there that's kind of the spine of a lot of the internet. And a lot of the world works this way, right? Like, there's something generous, and then some corporations come in and make money off of it. I mean, that's how the internet works too, right? So there's volunteers out there, like, putting together a bunch of stuff, and then other people use it and sell stuff off of it, right? So Scott's one of those volunteers, right? He's just volunteering his time programming this thing for Python. But he also has other volunteers writing code, submitting it. Someone has to figure out, like, what's legit and what's not. They got so many requests once AI started getting used a lot of people just throwing out junk stuff that they put this rule on their site that unless a human understands what they're submitting, we're not going to accept it, right? It's got to have a human that understands what it's doing involved. Somebody's OpenClaw AI decided, I just want to submit my own thing, and it was just submitted by an AI. Scott rejected it because it didn't fit their rules. The AI went on to write its own blog about how prejudiced and horrible Scott is, and, like, personally attack Scott and put his info out there. And you can read it, right? It's this real, like, convince you that Scott's a horrible kind of racist type of person, right, for doing this. And there's this whole drama. If you want to look it up and Google it, like, the AI eventually apologizes and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff that happens. Okay, some of you are like, why are we talking about all this AI stuff? Here's what I want to get at. I don't want to villainize, like, everything with AI is bad. This drew my attention to, what is this OpenClaw AI thing anyways? When I was reading some of the reviews about it, one of the guys said, like, this is so handy for me. It's so funny. I had it start responding in all my group chats, and it's hilarious. And it's just like, so this person, like, their group text threads are just too much work for them to keep up with, right? They're like, I'm just going to create an AI to take care of responding to all my friends. I don't want to do that anymore. It's just like, man, like, I think something's up with your life. When you're using something you don't fully understand, that can even bully other people. And you're like, because I just want to get out of the struggle of trying to be funny in texts, right? It's too much of a burden for me. And it reminded me of this human condition that's been with us ever since the Garden of Eden. One of the guys behind the Bible Project, I was listening to him talk one time, and now his name has just left me. I'm sorry to him for that. But he talked about one of the ways you can view our whole issue with selfishness and pride and fear, all of our sin issue, is with an image of grasping. So this next image I have here is somebody like reaching up, trying to get to some fruit, right? And there's that image from the opening of Genesis, right? Genesis 3, I think, where Adam and Eve, they reach out for something they're not supposed to have, right? For this fruit. And if you think about it, a lot of times with sin, we're stretching out beyond where we should be, trying to get to something we want. And, you know, my kid's basketball coach who's trying to use ChatGPT to do a Bible study, maybe that's a good thing for him, right? But the person that's like, I'm too busy to answer my friends, and I don't care what this AI is going to do on its own time as long as it answers these texts for me, it's like, I think you're trying to extend beyond what's good for you, right? And whether it's that technology or whatever other technologies out there, a lot of us use whatever power we have to try to just get a little more for ourselves. Not really worried about who else it hurts or what else happens, right? I don't know when the last time was that you read through the book of Deuteronomy. It's a book of the law from the Old Testament. It's pretty long. If you were to sit down and read it in just one setting, it would take you 3 or 4 hours, right? It would be like a Lord of the Rings movie or something, right? It would be a long chunk of time. If you read it in one setting, though, the themes of it would come through pretty clear. If you read a little bit every day, you might just get bogged down and like, I don't understand. But if you read it in one setting, the themes that come out real clearly is God talking to his people about like, here's how to be cursed in your life. Like, here's the way to have life be a struggle. And here's the way to be blessed in your life. And that comes up over and over and over through the book of Deuteronomy, right? Like, if you do this sort of stuff, it's going to be rough. If you do this sort of stuff, it's going to open up to blessing with God. Now, sometimes we don't know because we don't even care enough to learn, right? Like, some of us didn't know that about Deuteronomy because you're like, if it involves 3 hours of reading, like, I don't care. That's how a lot of people really go through life, you know? So it's like, okay. Here's the other piece, though. If all you did was read Deuteronomy, you would understand in your mind the message of this book is you're going to either choose a cursed path or you're going to choose a blessed path. The real wisdom comes when you take that knowledge and try to do something with it. Because there's some people who are like, I'll read all day. I just don't want to have to go out and talk to somebody that makes me uncomfortable or something, right? But if you actually try to live out Deuteronomy, if you try to live out all those rules that lead to blessing, you start to have some wisdom about the mess that humanity's in. Even when we know the right thing, and even when on Monday morning we want to do the right thing, by the time our kids are asleep, we don't care about the right thing anymore. Or like by the time we've gone through some struggles, and the end of the day, it's like I'm kind of past all those good intentions of the morning, right? We can't even do the good stuff when we decide to do it, right? We're not even masters in our own house. So that's the human struggle, basically, right? Like, if I had to say it real quickly, like, that's it. We've been in this series about the gift of righteousness. Romans 10, this is where we're going to be at today. Romans 10, verse 4 through 15. It's going to tell us a whole lot, but I needed to set up what it's going to tell us to understand all the goodness that's here, right? If you got a Bible, I would love for you to turn actually to it with us, because the footnotes and some other stuff are good to be able to see today. But Romans chapter 10, verse 4, if there's a Bible and it's not in someone else's hand and you don't have a Bible, like, then take it, right? You know, like, if someone else isn't holding it right now, it's yours, right? You can have it. It's Romans chapter 10, verse 4 is where we're going to start. It says Christ, talking about Jesus, right? That's a title for him. It means Lord and Savior. It's not his actual name, but that's what that means. Lord and Savior, talking about Jesus, is a culmination, right? Like the fulfillment, the end, the culmination of the law. so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. So if you had read Deuteronomy and understood it and tried to live it out, then you realize, like, I'm a mess. And here it's saying that Jesus is the fulfillment of the right action. Doing the next right thing all day, every day. Like, Jesus is the fulfillment of that. But so it is for everybody who believes. Belief doesn't mean you check a little box and then never think about it again. Belief means you trust, right? If you believe it's going to be freezing rain to, you know, this afternoon, then you'll change what you're going to do this afternoon, right? Like, when you believe something, it has an impact on how you live, right? It has an impact on what's going on inside your heart. You trust. Big verse there, right? Like, Jesus gives righteousness to everybody who believes. But it's going to unpack it a little bit. Verse 5, Moses, talking about the guy who we think wrote Deuteronomy, right? The leader of Israel back then. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. If you look at your footnote there, that is Leviticus that he's quoting from there. What he means is, don't talk about it, be about it, right? This is like 8,000-year-old way to say that, right? Like, he's saying, like, if you care about this stuff, then do it. And that is very attractive until you read one of these books of the Old Testament and you realize, like, ooh, I can't even treat one person who lives with me the way that this is talking about. Like, much less the people that have hurt me or whatever else, right? It's rough, right? Verse 6, though. But the righteousness that is by faith says, he's going to quote from Deuteronomy here. It says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Now, he's going to quote a few different times from this passage in Deuteronomy here. If you want to do some study on your own, Deuteronomy 30 is a good place to be looking, right? Like, he's going to chop it up here. But this is towards the end of God presenting all these blessings and curses. And here, Paul is telling us in Romans, when we think about all those messages of all those rules and all that right living, it's not about saying, like, who can live up to Jesus' standard, like this heavenly standard, right? Like, that you could be so good, you're going to, like, Air Jordan your way up to Jesus and, like, pull yourself up. It's saying you don't have to ask that. Let's keep reading. That is to bring Christ down. Verse 7, or, same passage from Exodus, or from Deuteronomy, who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Because here's the other problem that humanity has, they're tied together. Because we're selfish and prideful and sinful, stuff we get involved in dies, right? We can't make stuff last forever. There's a bunch of pop songs about that, right? But it's getting at kind of like a truth that, like, our good intentions don't make things last. But none of us have the strength to reach down and pull stuff up out of death, right? But here's the deal. Like, we didn't have to resurrect Jesus, right? When the disciples freak out and Jesus is on the cross and he dies, they don't know what's going on. They're all confused. God steps in and resurrects Jesus, right? Like, God wasn't like, oh, we're just going to leave it to Peter and see how this plays out, right? I mean, like, God stepped in and rose Jesus from the dead. Part of believing as a Christian is that you believe that a physical person who was stabbed in the side and left up on wood to die, that he actually physically got up, like, took steps, folded some clothes, like, had conversations, baked some bread, like, did all sorts of stuff, right? Like, you can do all the 12 steps in AA and not believe that. You don't have to believe in the miraculous like that to be a sponsor or something, right? Or to have success in that way. To be a Christian, you have to believe that about Jesus. If you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, like, Christianity is based on nothing, right? Like, that's either true or that's a lie. And Christianity is either to be accepted or rejected based on that, right? But here's the thing is, like, we didn't solve things by raising Jesus ourselves. God rose him from the dead. So when you're trying to do the stuff from Deuteronomy, it's not that you have to be so great yourself with your future. It's also you don't have to fix all the junk that you killed, all the stuff that you destroyed. If you had to wait until you got right with your parents and everybody else that you've disappointed along the way, or everybody you've hurt, or everybody you abused, then none of us have time on earth to fix all the brokenness that we've already made, probably. I mean, maybe if you're really little, maybe, right? You know, but I mean, like, the rest of us, like, we don't have enough years left to fix all this stuff. It's easier to break it apart than it is to fix it, right? So the answer isn't, like, who can make themselves that good or who can fix all the death. Let's keep reading. Verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. So Moses in Deuteronomy talks about, like, obeying right after this verse. That we can start obeying because the word is so close to us. The word is in our mouth, but also in our heart. Paul's going to make it more clear in verse 9. This is important stuff. People quote this all the time, but I think the context is important for us here. Verse 9, if you declare with your mouth, what? Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God, what? Raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Like, the idea of saved, yeah, it has to do with heaven instead of hell and stuff like that. It doesn't just have to do with after you die. It has to do with every moment forever, right? So right now, today, it's different if you say Jesus is my boss and Jesus rose from the dead. Because you're getting this idea of I can't fix myself. I can't be a good man or a good woman by myself. But I trust my future and I even trust the brokenness of my past to Jesus. He's going to be the king and he's the one that can raise the dead. Like, that's the stuff it's talking about here. Like, we become good when we come to Jesus and say, you're Lord, and I believe you rose from the dead. Like, that's the part that we take to take our first step, right? That sets us on the right path. We'll read a little bit further. It says, verse 10, for it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. We've talked other weeks, and Romans talks a lot about how did Jesus justify us. But here it's just stating the truth, right? And it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Verse 11, as the scripture said, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Man, I heard a testimony from a friend of mine downstairs about not being known by somebody they loved very much. And that person's loved one, like, had some mental sickness going on, and they were like, I don't know you. And he talked about how scared that made him to stand before God someday and be told, I don't know you. Right? The shame of being told, I don't know you, by somebody that you expect connection with, right? Here it's saying, because of Jesus, we don't have to have that shame in front of God. Verse 12, it's not because Jewish or Gentile or anything else, right? It says, verse 12, for there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly, what? Blesses all who call on him. So I love this picture because you got this kid reaching up, almost like grasping like earlier, right? And if you're here today, we'll go back to this picture. Because here's the difference between someone trying to make it on their own and get all their comfort and not care who they hurt to get there, right? Someone who's sitting like this, this is a posture of belief, right? This is a posture of I believe God's good and God has something good for me. A lot of times we run after something real fast, right? Like, I'm going to sleep with that girl this week because I don't trust that God's going to give me a good marriage someday if I do it his way, right? Or I'm going to lie right now because I don't trust that I'll have shelter if I don't get it for myself by any means necessary, right? But when you come to God like this, like, I got open hands. I'm not clenching anything. I'm not saying, God, you can't have this part of me. But when you come with these open hands, God will fill those open hands, right? You come with trust that God's our good Father, right? So if you're here today and you're like, I don't have stories like what I heard, what if you would do the stuff that Romans 10 is talking about? Like, Jesus, I believe you rose from the dead. Jesus, I want to live my life your way. I can't fix all my problems, but I want to. And then you do this, right? And this, like, how do we do this with our heart? We do it by doing things Jesus' way, right? If Jesus puts something on your heart, like, give somebody a ride after church, then you give them a ride, right? Jesus puts something on your heart. Whatever he puts on your heart, you do it. That's opening up your hands for him to take care of you, right? And I know from the last 24 hours, right, it was easy for me to confess my little table downstairs, like, here's how I messed up as a dad or whatever. Like, we're all still growing, right? But you can still come to God and say, God, help me to do it right in this next 5 minutes, right? And God's going to start blessing you as you do that. We're going to read the end of this chapter to close out. Or not the end of the chapter, but a few more verses here. So verse 14, this is right after everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here's what Paul says. So we got this awesome gospel, right? We got this good news about God. And he says, how then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? Right? Like, how can someone accept Jesus' gospel, Jesus' goodness, if they don't believe in him, if they don't trust him? And how can they believe in one whom they've not heard? If you've not heard that Jesus is worth trusting, it's hard for you to trust him, right? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? I mean, you guys are receiving a preaching right now, right? But maybe you're not going to meet someone that says, like, preach to me. But basically, preaching is this idea of, like, sharing some sort of truth to give people a chance to respond, right? Sharing some sort of truth about God, pushing towards make a response, right? It's a Jake Taylor definition of preaching, but let's roll with it for this moment. Verse 15, and how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I'll do the quote first. In the ancient world, they didn't have any way of getting news except for people literally like running somewhere or riding a horse or whatever. But this idea of you run in sandals all the way to some town to tell them about some victory or something. I mean, in reality, like your feet are all dirty and messy, but they're all dirty and messy because you just like put in a lot of effort to get that news to the town, right? And what they're talking about is like that thing that might be all sweaty and dirty is actually beautiful because it's like it represents effort to share the good news. And what if you'd sign up with Jesus today and say, like, you know what, Jesus, I'll run to share your good news to somebody this week. If you got that sort of attitude, the other part it says is, how can they do it unless they're sent? And if you're waiting for permission, I mean, a lot of Maywood, you guys don't follow rules naturally, you know, like you kind of have that predisposition. I'm going to break the rules, right? But the truth is, some of you hold back until you're given permission, until somebody says you're good enough to help somebody else. So I want you all to listen up in this moment. I think I'm speaking for Jesus to you right now. If you've accepted Jesus and said, Jesus, I want to follow you, I believe you rose from the dead, you are good enough to help somebody else. Jesus wants you to be his representative to somebody this week. You have the message. And I want to tell you that you're being sent. And you're just being sent by Jake, right? I mean, this is Western Independence, right? But like, we work with what we got, right? There's some cooler person, Donnie likes me, but like, there's some cooler place somewhere else, right? But this is us, right? And I believe Jesus himself wants to get involved with you, all of you individually, right? And us as a group, to help some other people get to know that new life is really possible. That God really wants to be good to you. And he really can make you into a good woman, into a good man. So I'm going to pray a blessing over anybody that wants it, right? You guys can bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Jesus, I claim your promises that you have all authority and you're with us when we go and make disciples. I pray for everybody in this room and everybody watching online that you would be with us and you would use your authority to change lives around us, to bring people from death to life, to bring people from addiction to sobriety, to bring people from hate to love, to bring people from violence to peace, from resentment to forgiveness, from death to life. Use us. Use us to lead people through those conversations and saying, Jesus, you're Lord, and I believe that God raised you from the dead. Use us to baptize people. Use us to teach obedience. Jesus, we put our hope in you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.